Again, I know we're time constraints. I want to honor your time this morning, but I do want to say just a few words because I want to set up a few things for later in the month as we go through Job. Has your spouse ever said, "Are you still maintaining your integrity?" Or "Are you still maintaining your integrity?" Maybe not that exact question, but has your spouse ever asked you something in that tone before? You can really feel Job's pain, can't you? The sores were one thing, but when your spouse starts sort of separating themselves from you and questioning what you're doing, that's something that really stood out to me. But that's a little aside there before we get into the meat of this. I just want to say a few words about mystery. People like a good mystery. They like good mystery. And, you know, one of the things that has stuck with us is the city of Atlantis and where is it? And, you know, people are still spending hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to find that city every year. There's, I know in our area, because he was born a couple hours up the road back in the 70s, is, you know, where's Jimmy Hoffa? You know, they still haven't found him. And then a couple of years later, Elvis started showing up. In restaurants and things, right? And so we're all kind of inclined to mysteries and something that is a little dark and not quite fully revealed yet. But in the scripture, there is a mystery that's spoken of, and it is the mystery that gets spelled out as the scriptures reveal themselves. You know, Jesus says that he tells his disciples that the knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven have been given to them. Paul speaks of the mystery of Christ and the mystery of the gospel in Ephesians. And then in 1 Corinthians, he talks about the mystery of God, namely Christ. So this faith that we've been given sometimes is referred to in the scriptures as a mystery. And that seems a little problematic because isn't what's given to us freely, and isn't it a gift, and it's something that we can receive and it can change our lives? It's very true. But to a world that hasn't opened its eyes yet, who doesn't have ears to hear and eyes to see, it is a mystery. It's a paradox. It's a contradiction to say that we must die in order to live, that we must give all to have all that matters in our life. And Paul put it this way. He said that, this is in 1 Timothy 3:16. He said, "Beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great." And here's how he describes the mystery. "Christ appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit and was seen by the angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, and was taken up in glory." That's it. That's the mystery. Christ died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. If your heart and your mind can open to that truth, which is a mystery to the world, and you can accept that Christ in your life, things will become clearer than they've ever become clearer in your life. You will begin to see your life and the world. You will begin to see your relationships. You'll begin to see your future possibilities in a whole different light when you get straight. Christ died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. And over the next few weeks, I want us to start digging into that mystery through the story of Job, because Job was this guy who had it all together. It says he was blameless and upright, and he was very blessed with worldly things too. I mean, he had a wonderful wife, he had wonderful children, he had possessions, he had his health. I mean, everything was going right with Job. And it says he was blameless and upright. I mean, I can see him getting up early in the morning and making breakfast for his wife and bringing it to him in bed, you know, before he goes and vacuums the house and volunteers 2 hours at the Red Cross later that day and gives each of his children a $20 bill and says, "Go help the homeless person somewhere." I mean, that's just the kind of... Job was just a great guy. And the devil is out there roaming around looking for us. He's looking for our weak spot. and he wants to get under our skin. He wants to find that weak point, and he wants to bring us down. He wants us to destroy us. And he shows up at the throne of God, and it seems like a very casual conversation they're having when you think about it, almost like they're sharing coffee with one another or something. And you know, God says, Satan, what have you been up to? And Satan says, just, you know, roaming the world to and fro, seeing what kind of destruction I can create out there. And but you know, it's getting kind of boring because everybody's so easily tempted these days. I mean, I hardly have to lift a finger and I can destroy a life, you know? It's getting kind of boring. I think I'll retire, Satan. You can almost hear him saying. And the Lord leans in. You can get a sense. And says, well, have you thought about Job? Have you tried Job yet? And Satan says, oh, Job, well, Job's got everything going for him. I mean, he's living the dream. How could I possibly tempt him? I mean, he's got everything going for him. And then he says, but you know what? Skin for skin, though. If things started going badly for him, I bet I could bring him down. And the Lord thinks for a minute and he says, well, I tell you what. You can go after him. You can't take his life. But he is blameless and upright, and I know he'll remain true. So the devil departs. And the devil does what he does, and he goes out to, he roams looking for who he might devour. And he shows up at Job's doorstep. And the first thing that he does in our passage today is he fills his body up from the crown of his head, it says, to the soles of his feet. So, I mean, the complete body is covered with sores. So a man who had everything all of a sudden is in great agony, and he can't do anything without feeling the pain of these sores. He can't concentrate, he can't accomplish anything, he can't enjoy anything in life, and he's so miserable he takes a shattered piece of potter and he starts scraping the sores trying to relieve some pain. And his wife comes to him, and she can't believe it. She can't believe that Job is not upset about this, that he's not cursing God, that he's not putting blame on God. And she shows up and she doesn't put her arm around him and say, Job, I'm there for you, man. We're gonna make it through this. She says, I can't believe you're keeping your integrity. And Job faces his pain in a divine-filled, a spirit-filled way. Let me say this real quick and then I'll close. We all suffer, right? From time to time. Some of us are in different points of suffering in our life at different times. Suffering will come, but you do not, and there will be anguish, and there will be doubt, and there will be fears, and there will be disorientation. We'll be disoriented. You know, we're thrown off kilter. But that does not mean that we have to introduce a drama into our pain that doesn't belong there. And Job did not do that. He did not allow the drama to be introduced into his pain. He was anguished, he was hurting, he was suffering, but he didn't have resentment, he didn't find someone to blame, and we're good at that when we have pain, we find someone to blame. He didn't look to himself and beat himself up and say, idiot, 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 what have you done? What have you done to deserve this? Because he had been living righteously and upright. So he wasn't drowning in self-imposed guilt, and we're pretty good at that too sometimes. Instead, he met his suffering as a spirit-filled person. And what does he say to these theatrics that are offered? This is what he says. The wife says, are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die. You know, it doesn't get much more dramatic than that. But Job doesn't curse God. Instead, he accepts both the good and the trouble in life. He says, what are we to expect? That's what life is. Life is good days and bad days. Life is joys. Life is grief. Life is there's seasons of happiness, and then there's seasons where things don't go well. I'm not going to curse God because of that. I'm not going to accuse life. I'm just going to trust that the Lord will see me through, will give me strength, and will not abandon me. In essence, that's what Job is saying. You see, the secret to life, someone once said, is what you do with plan B. Because I don't know many people whose plan A worked out. If it worked out for you, God bless you. If it didn't work out for you, God bless you. Because the secret of life is what you do with plan B. And God will always be with you in plan B. He will not abandon you. So, cutting it short this morning, don't get lost in the drama in your suffering. Don't let theatrics be introduced. And what I mean by that is don't start finding people to blame or drowning yourself in guilt. Maybe there is some sin you need to account for and to fall to your knees and ask God for forgiveness. But and God will forgive you. But don't keep beating yourself up. God showers His forgiveness on us. So accept that forgiveness. Don't blame others and trust in the Lord. And that is one of the hardest things for humans to do, is to suffer faithfully. You lose someone dear to you. It's hard to suffer faithfully. You undergo some physical ailment, some disorientation in your life. It's hard to suffer faithfully. It's hard for us, but guess what? As James said last week, God gives more grace. As Paul says, God's grace is sufficient. We're not in this alone. When we're disoriented in life, when things got us off kilter, the Lord is with us, and He will not abandon us. And so we can take a good lesson from Job in our disoriented moments in life, and that is not to listen to those who say, curse God and die. Why are you maintaining your integrity? Go live it up. Go spend the kids' inheritance, whatever the temptation is. Job said, no, I'm going to accept the good and trouble in life, but in all things, trust in God. That's what people of faith do. Is it easy? No, it's not easy. But that's why we have the Holy Spirit. That's why we have the grace of God. So I hope that you'll spend some time this week meditating upon the word from Job and be blessed by what you find there. Amen.